So there's this collection of scriptures that many of you have heard about before that assigns four scriptures for every Sunday of the church year. An Old Testament reading, a psalm, a gospel reading, and an epistle, a letter from the New Testament. And it's a three-year cycle. So every 3 years, you go through the same scriptures every 3 years. But every once in a while, there's a Sunday in the church year when the lectionary gives you the same passage every single year. And this is one of those. The Old Testament, the Psalm, the lectionary, the epistle change around a little bit. But the gospel reading every year, the Sunday after Easter, is always this passage from John. John, the 20th chapter, beginning with verse 19, and it can be found on anyone who wants to read along on page 115 in the New Testament, the second half of the Pew Bibles. Here it is. When it was evening on the day that Jesus rose, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and in my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." And Thomas answered Jesus, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing in him, and through believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, open to us this day your word. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all hearts here be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In the Middle Ages, it was a tradition for the priest to tell a joke during their Easter homily. It came to be known as the Easter laugh. This practice arose from the teaching of the early church theologians like Augustine and Gregory of Nyssa and John of Chrysostom, who all believed that Easter itself was the greatest joke in human history. Because on Friday, when Jesus died, Satan thought he had won, that God had been defeated. But on Easter, God had the last laugh, and the joke was on the devil. What started out as a single joke in an Easter homily became a week of jokes and pranks, all designed to celebrate history's greatest joke, the resurrection. And it went on for quite a while until it got so out of hand, as these things sometimes do, that the Pope actually called an end to it. Said, "Stop! No more of this. No more of this week of pranking after Easter. It's all funny until the first person gets hurt." But in recent years, there's been a resurgence of this practice by celebrating the Sunday after Easter as Holy Humor or Laughter Sunday. And when you read the accounts of Jesus' appearance after the resurrection, you can see why those early church theologians had this idea that this was God's greatest joke. For all of the stories contain that classic element of a good joke, that unexpected twist. You know, you think the story's going in one direction and then suddenly it goes off in another way. And in that sudden shift, we find ourselves surprised and delighted and laughing. In today's story, all of the disciples except Thomas are huddled together in an upper room. Their leader has been executed. They are wondering if they are next. Strange and confusing stories have come to them that Jesus is alive, but everyone knows that that has to be a bunch of nonsense because they know that Jesus is dead. People saw him die. They put him in a tomb. They know that they know what they know. Jesus is dead. And then suddenly, poof, the unexpected twist. Jesus is standing in the middle of their room. The disciples all but jump out of their skin. Jesus! You scared the heck out of us. And James turns to his brother John and says, hey, I thought you locked that door. And his brother says, I did lock that door. I checked it. I double checked it. That door was locked. And Jesus replied, locks can't keep me out. And just for good measure, maybe added, surprise. The next day, they try to convince Thomas, who had been missing, that they had seen Jesus. Really, they had seen Jesus. But Thomas isn't going to fall for one of that. Until a week later, when once again, poof, there is Jesus. Jesus, you have got to stop doing that, the disciples complain. All but Thomas, who falls on his knees before Jesus. And surprise, the joke is on the devil. And the joke is on anyone who doesn't dare to believe. Then it happens again on the road to Emmaus, which is told in Luke's gospel, which I didn't read today. The story is that the story is going along in a nice, normal, expected direction. The Jesus disciples are grieving over the loss of their leader. There have been troubling and confusing reports that people have seen Jesus. The disciples have no idea what to do with this information. So they decide to get out of town, just get away for a little while to clear their head, be safer outside of Jerusalem. And as they travel, they meet someone on the road. The traveler joins them, and they so enjoy his company that they invite him to join them for dinner. And it's when he breaks the bread that, surprise, their eyes are opened and they realize it's Jesus. G.K. Chesterton, the English humorist and philosopher, wrote, "Angels can fly because they take themselves lightly. Never forget that the devil fell by force of gravity. A good joke is the closest thing to divine revelation. They who have faith have fun." So I thought we would follow his advice today and have a little fun ourselves with today's scripture. Suzanne Schmidt, in Trinity United Church of Christ in Manchester, Maryland, created a Mad Lib based on today's passage. And I thought, that's brilliant. A Mad Lib, because really, isn't that the way life and our faith works? God writes the story, but we are then invited to add our own lives to it so that from there, it can get pretty ridiculous. All kinds of details get mixed up, some absurdly so, yet in the end, the truth still remains. The story still goes on. Like a Mad Lib, we are invited to make our faith story out of God's story. We add our nouns, our verbs, our adjectives, our adverbs, and some of what we add is more than a little off. After all, we sin, we doubt, we fear, we forget. And yet, in spite of all of that, the story continues. I think that is the heart of the Easter message. Evil does its best to stop God, to kill love, but God raises up new life and resurrects hope. We get things wrong. We call something purple when it should be orange. We try to sleep when our action verb should be tightrope walking. And yet the story goes on. God continually invites us into the story that God is telling. And often, it seems as if our misinterpretations and misperceptions and miscalculations will ruin everything. Only they don't. Because that is the way God wrote the story. It isn't complete until we add our piece. God could have done a solo act. It would have certainly been an easier task for God, and the storyline would have gone much more smoothly and logically. But that isn't how God chooses to do things. Instead, when we lock ourselves away, Jesus shows up and offers us peace, breathes on us, empowering us to become the hands and feet and heart of Christ in our world. And if we think it could ever be any other way, the joke is on us. Because no matter what we do or don't do, God's love shines through. God's work is accomplished, and as always, God gets the last laugh. So let us now celebrate with joy the wonder and ridiculousness of our faith, as together we create our own Mad Lib of Easter hope. For those of you who do not remember how Mad Libs work, I will be asking you for nouns, person, place, or thing, right? Verbs, actions, right? And I will be asking for adjectives, as adverbs, so ways to describe an action, like fast or slow or, you know, whatever. So, and we do have some adjectives also, things that describe nouns. So this is your grammar test as well. So I need an adjective, something that describes another thing.
Crunchy.
Crunchy. Ooh, that's a good one. Okay, I need another adjective. Silly. Silly, and one more.
Juicy.
Okay. I need an action verb. I need an action verb.
Prancing.
Run. Right, we got one. We got prancing. I think that's what I heard. Okay, and then I need, what was in a
run?
Oh, sure. Running. Okay. Okay. Now I need a noun.
Tiger.
And a verb?
Was.
An action verb. I need what?
Growl.
Growl, okay. Okay, and another noun?
Pickle.
Okay. And now I need an animal.
Giraffe.
Oh, that's good. Stand up, Norma Jean. Okay, and a noun. Noun, person, place, a thing.
Church.
What? Church. I'll just do this one because I couldn't hear back there. People in the back, you got to yell. I'm hard of hearing. Okay, now I need a stern and serious historical figure. I am not putting Jesus down as a stern and severe. Winston Churchill, thank you very much. Okay. A body part, church, remember. Huh?
Toe.
A noun that is that describes a person. So, a personal noun.
Fancy.
A noun. Like a noun that would be a type of person. A wizard. There we go. Okay. And okay. Now I need a verb that would be viewed as a negative, kind of a sinful verb.
Racy.
Okay. Okay. And okay. And I need three adverbs. First adverb, describing a verb.
Quickly.
Quickly, lazily, and beautifully. Okay, here we go. Every year on Easter, on the Sunday after Easter, we hear the story of doubting Thomas. He is always called doubting Thomas, never crunchy Thomas, or silly Thomas, or juicy Thomas. All the disciples are together in the upper room except Thomas, who is off prancing. Jesus appears to the disciples, and they believe, and they are filled with joy. When Thomas returns from running, the disciples tell him about this amazing experience. But Thomas doesn't believe them. I mean, really, would you? A man comes back from the dead, it's as preposterous as a tiger growling through a pickle. Thomas's reaction is reasonable. The disciple's story was unbelievable. But what must have been the most shocking to Thomas was the change in the disciples' mood. When Thomas left them, the disciples were all grieving and shocked and heartbroken. When he returned, Thomas was still grieving, but the disciples were suddenly as happy as a giraffe in a church. That giraffe's name is Norma Jean. When we tell this story today, we tend to imagine doubting Thomas as a stern figure, like those old portraits of Winston Churchill. If someone told us that Jesus was raised from the dead, we may have said, "You got to be pulling my toe." We may have laughed, too. Ha! That scoffing, cynical, bitter kind of laugh. You know the kind of laughter I'm talking about. It's not joyous, it's defensive laughter. The kind that protects us from the things that could really hurt. A laughing it off, a too cool, smug laughter, a can't fool me laughter. But Thomas comes to know that God's love triumphs over all. Thomas knows that he is loved in spite of his doubts. It doesn't matter if a wizard starts racing. God will still love them and forgive them. Let us, like Thomas, even with lingering doubts, believe in the resurrection and experience deep and abiding joy. Believe in the resurrection and join in the laughter. Laugh quickly, laugh lazily, laugh beautifully, and laugh abundantly. Amen. So now it's your turn. Who's got a joke for us today? I gave warning to some people. Who's going to start us off? There we go, Alan. I knew I could count on you.
So this man went on vacation, and he left his cat with his brother to take care of while he was gone. So one day he calls and talking to his brother, and he says, "Well, how's the cat?" He says, "Your cat's dead." Says, "What do you mean the cat's dead? You don't just blurt something out like that. You start off with something like, 'The cat's on the roof and we can't get him down.' Then the next day you say, 'Oh, he's still on the roof, but we're trying.' Then the next day you say, 'Oh, it's not looking good.' Then you say, 'Your cat's dead.' You don't just blurt something out like that." "By the way, how's Mom?" "Mom's on the roof and we can't get her down."
Okay, I'm coming back, Scott. I'm getting this and I'll come back to you, okay? Go ahead.
All right, so there are three people on a boat in the middle of just like some large body of water, and they have four cigarettes among them, but no lighter. And they're thinking, "Well, we just want to kick back and enjoy the cigarettes, but what are we going to do? How do they light the cigarettes?" So one of them decides to throw one of the four cigarettes off the boat. And they say, "What did you do that for?" And he says, "Well, hey, now the whole boat's a cigarette lighter."
Oh, that's a good groaner.
Okay, so it was a very, very busy week last Sunday, Easter. Three unfortunate souls passed, and they raced to the pearly gates. St. Peter said, "It's very, very busy here. It's Easter Sunday." I only have room for one, so who can describe today's holiday? One raised his hand and said, I can. It's when you get dressed up in costumes and you go door to door and collect candy. No, that's not right. Who else can try? Oh, I can. It's when you gift wrapped these gifts and pretty paper and ribbons and you put them under a Christmas tree and wait for the jolly man in the red suit. No, that's not the right holiday. One last chance. Who's got that? I can. It's when they put the crown of thorns around the guy's head and they put him on the cross and he's crucified. He dies. They put his body in the tomb. And 3 days later, the stone rolls open and he walks out and sees his shadow and there's three more weeks of winter.
Others? I'm walking back up. Other jokes to do? I'm coming up here, Esther.
Where does the Easter Bunny have breakfast?
I don't know.
At IHOP.
Oh. You could tell she has grandkids, can't you? Okay.
So years ago, there was an ecumenical conference seminar in the woods by a nice lake, and three of the attendees, a Baptist, a Lutheran, and a Presbyterian, were there, and they were good friends in the ministry. Anyway, they decided they had a day off, and they went out into a boat and went out on the lake and were doing some fishing. They got out on the lake, and the Baptist said, "Oh, dang, I forgot my hat." So he got out of the boat and he walked across the water to the shore and went to his car and got his hat. And that was the Baptist minister. The Lutheran minister said, "Oh, yes. And I can't see. I think I left my readers in up on the shore too." So he got out of the boat and walked across the water to the shore and got his readers. And the Presbyterian minister looked at them and said, "Well, I'm certainly as good as these guys." He said, "Okay, I'm going to get up and walk across the water too." So he gets up, steps out of the boat, and instantly falls into the water. And the Baptist and the Lutheran minister from the shore look at each other and say, "Maybe we should tell him where the stepping stones were."
Oh. More? No. Jim?
The story is about a Presbyterian minister named Steve who was on safari in Africa.
My husband's name is Steve, anybody doesn't know this. So.
He was on a safari in Africa and he got separated from his tour group and was walking through the jungle and discovered a very hungry lion was chasing him. And he started to run and the lion ran after him. And so he said, I better pray. So he says, "Please, God, turn that lion into a Christian so he won't eat me." And so he kept running, and he looked back over his shoulder, and the lion was kneeling in prayer. And he said, "Oh, thank you, Lord." And so he said, "If he's a Christian now, I think I'll go back and try to make friends with him." So he went back to the lion, and as he approached the lion, he heard the lion saying, "Lord, bless this meal in which I'm about to partake."
And on that note, let us join together in song. We will sing the first three verses of "I Come with Joy to Meet the Lord, My Lord," hymn number 507. So just 1, 2, and 3 now. We'll finish the hymn later in the service. Those are all. Please rise.